This is the American Dream, Dustin Rhodes, son of a plumber, daddy, and you're listening to the Bob Culture Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to a very, very special Monsta edition of the VCP. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome into the show. This is long overdue. He is a multiple-time tag team champion everywhere he goes, including the likes of CZW, ICW, JCW, JAPW, World Extreme Wrestling. He is the current, reigning, and defending Titan Championship Wrestling heavyweight champion ahead of his appearance at Mount Olympus this Saturday at Adrenaline Academy in New Jersey. Tickets are still available. Shameless promo, please welcome to the show. This is long overdue. Steve Monsta Mac. Champ, thank you so much for making
it. Thank you, Bobby. How are you?
Thank you.
Appreciate I'm good. And yourself?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I was talking to you. I mentioned this to PJ off air, man. Like, I'm starting to get, you know, some wrestling work here, a little travel. I told you, I was super tired. You've been doing it, what, for 20-plus years now, man?
So this February coming up makes 25 years that I've been going full-time. Thank you. My first official match was actually 25 years ago already. It was in October of 1996.
Wow.
Oh, man. And it was pretty wild. Me and my cousin Loki, we got into it the same day. Low Life Louie, he helped us get into it, and it's been a wild ride ever since. Honestly, I thought I was gonna be done by now.
You're the top dog, man. Come on.
Listen. Everyone knows that, you know, the big dog always has to put up a big fight no matter what. And eventually those big fights, they catch up with you. You know what I mean? And, I had a little bit of downtime, not downtime, but where I wasn't working as much. And it's definitely helped my body recover. The last couple of years, as I knew I was getting closer to 25, I knew I wanted to do something special. And just so happened that Titan was starting after the breakup with SWF. And I talked to Billy. I didn't know I was going to become the champ. Never talked about it. I just talked about working with the younger guys and just having good matches. And, then the opportunity came up. I took advantage, and Johnny Moran's been crying about it ever since.
There it is. I was waiting for it. There it is. We'll talk about Johnny. Obviously, I know I'm supposed to be impartial, Mr. Mac, but Johnny, personal friend, has really inspired me, given me opportunities. So I try to be impartial. We'll talk about that in a little bit. You are the champ. You are here. And I appreciate you last night taking the time to watch the PJ Savage interview. He was hot. He was fired up. And I'll tell you this, Mr. Mac, champ, I should say, he is ready to go. He dropped your name came out of his mouth a couple times. Let's be real. He said you were ducking him. He's saying he's being overlooked in Titan. I'm sure you've seen your share of these hungry guys. And no disrespect, I love PJ, and he's putting in the work. I'll give him that. I'm a fan. That being said, Mr. Mac, your thoughts on PJ's comments and saying you're ducking him?
Well, the reason why I watched is because I do know that PJ Savage is very talented. He's a very hungry individual. And to be honest, he reminds me a lot of myself when I was his age, if not younger.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of the things he said at some point when I was still green, I said. So I know where he's coming from. I know what he's all about. I know what he wants. I do know what it's like to be in his position. And listen, if you really want to talk about competition, then you have to aim for the top, or else why bother aiming at all? He said it himself, the hardcore title wasn't his thing. He didn't want that. He wants the big gold. There's nothing wrong with that. Listen, the problem that he has is that he's sitting there waiting for an opportunity. I don't sit and wait. If I see something, I go for it. In my career, I've wrestled. You want to talk about a Hall of Fame roster that I've wrestled? And I didn't lose to all of them. I wrestled the Steiners, the Dudleys. I wrestled the Samoan SWAT team. And I wrestled the Road Warriors, Demolition, Greg the Hammer Valentine, Brutus Beefcake. I mean, you name it, MVP, I've wrestled them all. They're making this big noise about Jay Lethal joining AEW. Who do you think was Jay Lethal's first person that beat his ass in a ring? It was me and Moff. You know, you go back to the start of all these cats. And the one thing that, you know, if anybody ever tries to like, oh, you're not as famous as your friends. Well, you know what? That may be true. I may not have gotten a TV contract, but there's a lot of guys who are on TV. And guess what? They're there because I helped them. They're there because at some point in their career, my fingers got in the mix and I helped mold them to be better wrestlers. So I may not be there personally, but my spirit is there. If you look at EYFBO, Santana Ortiz, Proud and Powerful, they are the Hit Squad, the next generation. They're faster, wow. They're stronger, they're younger. They got the torch passed to them from us personally because they were representing New York, the young Latinos, coming from a nowhere background, same as me and Moff. And we beat their asses for about 2 or 3 years from almost when they first started teaming up till the last time before they went to TV. And in fact, their spot at Impact when they first got signed, the first call was to me and Moff, but we couldn't go. And the first thing we said, send Mike and Angel. Wow. They need to go. Yeah, wow. Yeah. And wow. And it's not humble brag or anything. It's telling it like it is. There's a lot of guys who are on TV that are there because along the way, they ran into me. There's a lot of guys who are on the indies that have gotten spots. PJ was talking about helping out friends. Yes, in this business, the good wrestlers help out the younger guys to get a spot. I didn't just help out my friends. I helped the people that I saw that were hungry. I helped the people that I saw that wanted the spot. They were there looking for any little thing, doing what they had to do. Those are the people that I helped out. Didn't matter if we were cool or not, if I knew them or not. If I could spread their name out by just saying their name once on my Twitter or whatever it was, I would do it. But it was better for me to sit and hold court with them in the locker room. And I did that for years. I'm a nobody. I'll always say that I'm a nobody. Because, like I said, in this business, it matters if you've been on TV. It matters if, well, now anyway, because back in the day, it didn't matter any of that stuff. There was no social media when I started. But like now, it's all about your followers and who you know and all that good, corny stuff that social media provides, right? Yeah. I don't need any of that. I just have my people that I know. If I know someone in, let's just say, Tennessee, is there and like AEW or WWE or Impact is there, I just make a phone call. Hey, man, do me a favor. Look out for this kid. He's good. And it's going to happen. And it's not, again, it's not bragging. It's because that's how it's supposed to be. That's how I was brought up. That's how I was raised in this business. You're supposed to look out for the younger kids. So, like I said, PJ Savage reminds me of a very young me. PJ, though, has the problem of he's still young. Even though he's been in business a few years, he really hasn't been in it for more than a cup of coffee.
Wow.
He sits and waits for the opportunity to come to him rather than taking advantage of the opportunity. This is a story I've never shared anywhere. So you're getting the exclusive.
BCP exclusive.
Yes, you're getting the exclusive.
Wow.
When Frank Goodman, the owner of USA Pro Wrestling, had announced that the Road Warriors were going to be on his show, he was like, who should we put them with? So I was like, there's no way me and Moff are not going to wrestle the Road Warriors. We're going to wrestle the Road Warriors. Back then, message boards were the thing. So I created 3 fake names, and all 3 of them agreed that the Hit Squad and the Road Warriors would be the best option. But because I did a whole bunch of other people agreed, and they were like, yes, this is true. Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like 4D chess, man. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to create the opportunity for yourself, because if you don't, no one else will. It doesn't matter what they say to your face or whatever. This business will always be a selfish business. You have to take care of yourself first and then take care of everybody. And it's not something that I've always done, because honestly, had I only looked out for myself, I would have been on TV and I would have only been, making TV money. But I learned later on that you have to take care of yourself first. And it's not being a dick. It's not being a jerk or anything like that. It's what this business is, self-promotion. PJ Savage is a great talker. He talks a great promo. He's very fierce, very intense. He cut a promo on your show last night that was really awesome.
Yeah.
But the problem with PJ Savage is he doesn't realize that while he feels he's up here, realistically, he's here. He's not low, but he's here. And he needs to get here. But the connect from here to there, it comes through time. You can be – there's only one MJF. Have you noticed that? There's only one young, talented stud, and there's a bunch of talented studs. There's only one MJF. Why is that? Because it's a rare gem. You need to be processed and turned over and processed again to become something in this business.
Wow.
PJ Savage is just at that. He went to Johnny Rod's school, which is awesome. He's doing his second schooling at Sanctuary, which is an awesome location. I mean, I loved filming in that building, and I'm definitely going to go back to that building to do more stuff.
Amazing promo.
So, thank you. I mean, that was all them. All those guys that, you know, Alex Watt and all those guys, that was all John Trotsky's crew. You know what I mean? And they made us look great. But that comes from me seeing, listen, we have an opportunity to get to a bigger platform. Titan now is in their second year. They need to elevate. This can't be the place where guys are just starting. This has got to be the place that established guys come to get to the next level of TV or getting to a bigger indie. If Ring of Honor is going to be an indie, let's just say, right? That's what everybody's thinking, that they're just going to be another indie, no contracted guys.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to take the guys that are working at Titan to be on Ring of Honor? You know what I'm saying? Like, sure. That's how it should be to me. A Game Changer Wrestling should be looking at the talent of Titan Wrestling. And as long as there's those guys who aren't taking advantage of the opportunity that they have, then it's going to be kind of hard. But now you got guys like Rick Recon, Nikos Rikos, PJ Savage. You got a few guys there who are killing themselves. Blaze Haram. I love Blaze. Blaze is awesome. Actually, me and Blaze Haram went to the same high school in Brooklyn.
No kid.
We played on the same football team. I was a few years older than him.
Yeah. But
we played on the same football team. And we have that history. You know what I mean? That connection. And he's one of the guys that I always sit next to in the back and I'm always talking to because I see his hunger. And the same thing with Rick Recon. We've had some great matches, but I enjoy talking to the guys who want to know more to be better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think PJ Savage just needs that. I don't think that he's bad. I don't think that he's green. I don't think any of that. I just think the inexperience, because while he has wrestled Bobby Lashley, you know, and he's wrestled a few other big time names in the business, he needs more big independent names. He was talking about Kenny Omega, I saw, right? He needs guys on those levels, Jay Lethal. He needs experience from those guys on how to handle the indie business. Because before you get to TV, you got to master the indie set. Because if you don't have any skills on the indie set, you're getting nowhere. They're going to eat you up on TV. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he needs that. That's what he needs. Everybody needs a good 2 to 3 big indie feuds before they could go to TV. Because you need to know how far you could push your limits, what standards you can set from your work that people will look at and they'll be like, oh man, all right, that makes sense now. You know what I mean? That's what he needs. Instead of fighting random dudes, he needs to have a 1-year program. Look, me and Johnny Moran, we don't know what's going to happen on Saturday, right? But Johnny Moran and I, for the last year, have been interacting. And if he makes it to the championship match, great. We could continue telling our story. If he doesn't, then my side of the story is proven right, that he can't make it. He can't hack it. He's not on my level. You know what I mean? You got to look at all the stuff that we've been doing is setting up. And with PJ Savage, that's what he needs. He needs that long-term, everybody gets a year to tell a story. But he needs that long-term deal to show what kind of warrior he is. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
in this business, everyone comes off, you know, if you're a fan looking on the outside in, they all know each other. They're all cool. But it's still a jock mentality. despite all the geeks that are coming in, the chess players, the cosplayers who are coming in, it's still a jock society.
Oh, yeah.
And Mongo wins because Mongo, you might have some sort of wizardry power, but Mongo just punch you in the face and knock you out. You know what I'm saying?
That's it, man. You said it perfectly. Even when we were doing basket brawl, we were trying to do all this like creative and fun stuff. And everyone, like, and it was great. And it was fun and all great for great cause. But all the wrestlers are like, no, like, I just want to play. Like, like the warm-ups and the pregame was fun. One of the best environments. Once the game got going, it was like, it was serious. Like, and they're not basketball players. I believe you. Know? No disrespect, you know? Yeah. A lot of talented
athletes. I wasn't there, but I bet you Moff was like the biggest, most bully jock on the entire court.
I'll say this, man. He sent Navarro, that's my guy, flying in one play. I was doing commentary. The headset came off. I wasn't gonna do nothing to Moff. Don't get me wrong, man. I'm not that stupid. Uh-huh. But Casey's my boy, so you know, the headset came off. I was going down to check on him. I wasn't messing with Moff, but you called it. No disrespect.
Yeah, whatsoever. I know.
It gets competitive.
No. It's but yeah. But that's what Moff is. Listen, I know Moff for the last 23 years. I know what he's about. I know who he is. I know, you know, what type of person he is. I know that Moff, when it comes to being competitive, there's not many that can match his level of competition. He gets so into the game, and that's why he was such a great wrestler, or is a great wrestler. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Because no matter what you think you know about this business, when you get in the ring, you're always competing against somebody. You're competing against yourself. You're competing against the crowd. You're competing against the opponent. You're competing against the promoter. And Moff always sees that. And the same with me. We always see that there's a competition going on somewhere. You want to be the best. You don't want to look stupid. You don't want to look like a clown. It doesn't matter if you can do it or not. You're going to kill yourself or die. You know what I'm saying? You're going to do it or die trying.
Yeah.
So, once you talked about basketball, I didn't have to see anything. And I know Moff doesn't play basketball. Moff sucks. I'm pretty sure he sucks at basketball.
Wow.
However, I know that Moff was very intense. And I know that, you know, he probably bullied a few people in the locker room, bullied a few people on the court. But it was a good time and everybody was laughing.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what pro wrestling is. You know?
And I think they had a few words after that interaction. It was cool. It was no hard. And it was a great mm-hmm. event. There really were some good athletes and basketball players as well. But I'm getting way sidetracked on this because you brought up a very, very good point, man. You talk about seizing the opportunity, you know, people, you know, having that passion, having that momentum right now. But you, like you even said, like the things you did to kind of just push it that much further, man, you have to seize the opportunity. I mentioned to PJ about giving away his hardcore championship opportunity, things of that nature. So I get what you're saying, man, but you've mentioned this man time and time again. Again, I'll try my best to be impartial. Johnny has done so much for me and been an inspiration, and he's, you know, he's had his chances. Let's be real. He's had his chances at the title, wasn't able to get the job done, like you mentioned earlier. But just psychoanalyzing the situation here, bachelor's degree in psychology, great promo. You went to Johnny's home, the sanctuary. That 10-minute promo, guys, if you haven't watched it, it's all over the place, especially on the Titan channels, Johnny's Facebook, all that great stuff. Stellar production. That being said, a lot of real talk. Two chairs in the ring, talking about family, talking about, you know, the legacy, talking about the journey, talking about climbing that proverbial mountain, Mount Olympus. And for whatever reason, Johnny is not the number one contender right now. Johnny has to win that battle royal, the rumble, the Mount Olympus rumble. It's wild to me that Johnny is still in your mind. And part of me thinks that maybe part of you is pushing Johnny a little bit. Because you could move on and be done with this. And yes, you said it, like in the promo, he's been your shadow. He's always been there, whether you're cutting a promo, whether you're in the ring, and vice versa. Is this one of those things where you just want to see what he's really made of?
Well, I look at it like this. Johnny Moran was given the qualities that many of us who aren't in his position have asked for. God-given abilities, God-given size, talent, looks. There's a lot of guys who wish they looked like Johnny Moran. And when I was a kid, I grew up in an Italian neighborhood, Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. There's a lot of Italians, a lot of Greeks, a lot of beautiful people. And I, being Hispanic, I had this short, curly hair. I looked different. And part of me was, how come my hair isn't straight like theirs? Or how come my smile isn't as nice as theirs? And while I didn't hate them, I definitely resented the fact that I didn't look like them. And I got along great with everybody. I mean, you see how I am in the locker room. I like to talk to people. I enjoy the human experience because everybody has a different story. Everybody has comes from a different place, different background. And it's cool to find out what people have gone through. With Johnny, though, I feel like he's taken advantage of what he's been given as far as his looks, his size, his talent. I told him to his face, he's a blue chipper. That's a term that you use in college basketball or football for someone who has everything to have it. But the problem is, he would rather pretend to be a play wrestler. And listen, he's doing the miles. He's doing what he can. But who's talking about Johnny Moran? If it isn't for me, the Sanctuary is talking about him, but who else? And he wrestles for a lot of places. So who's really bringing up Johnny Moran? Nobody. And the reason why is because he doesn't take this as serious as he should. It's not a knock on him as far as like, you know, just, oh, I hate him and blah, blah, blah. No. He's someone I see that has every reason to succeed, and he doesn't give it his all. He used to have family come through. Why does family stop supporting? Because, listen, and I know his pops passed away, but family should always be there supporting you no matter what. I didn't have that growing up. I didn't have a bunch of people coming to my shows. It's not until recently that I even had a girlfriend who came to my shows. Because a lot of the time, nobody supports the way they should. And I understood that. In a way, I used it. I was able to be more violent. I was able to be more wild and not have to worry about who's going to see me when I went home to tell me, oh, you look like an animal. You know what I mean? So I know that might sound a little deep, but you know, that's really what it came down to. I didn't have to worry about if anybody was hitting on my girlfriend or if anybody was looking at my mom sideways or whatever it was. I didn't have that problem. But at the same time, it's not like I didn't want it. I didn't want their support. I wanted their support. He had it, and they stopped coming. Why? Because they saw to him, it was a hobby. They saw for him, while he, you know, dressed the part, he wasn't taking it as serious as he should have. There's no reason why that kid isn't on TV right now. He's got the size, the look. He could cut a promo, but he's a play wrestler. And it's not that, you know, I'm going for easy pickings, but he really has forced my hand. Every time I cut a promo after a match, guess who would interrupt me? Every time I'm in the back talking to somebody, I could feel his eyes burning a hole through me. I know that at some point I hit a nerve with him. So now, me being the gentleman that I am, I make sure I hit that nerve every time. I want him to try again. I want him to succeed. But do I think he's going to? I keep saying it. He's not on my level. There's a reason why I believe in that. I looked into his eyes. When you look into the eyes of someone and you see what they're made of, especially you saw how close we were. We were inches, not even inches. We were about an inch away from each other. And you could see. Yeah, he was pissed at what I was saying, but there's no, what are you going to do to prove me wrong? There was no fire like that. For 25 years, that's what I've been getting paid to do, is read the crowd, read my opponent, read the locker room, read the promoters and the bookers to see who's going to try to screw me over. At some points, I didn't have to because they were just so intimidated, just me walking in. But then every once in a while, you get those guys who hype themselves up. And guess what? They find out they're not ready. I think with Johnny, while I do, like I said, I do hope he wins because I want to fight him and I'd love to beat him. Because then if I beat him, what happens? He doesn't come after me anymore. He'll back down. He'll go for something else. Maybe he'll challenge Rick Recon. Maybe he'll challenge for the hardcore title. Or maybe he'll just go away. Wow. Either which way, what does it say about him if I do beat him again? If he makes it all that way just to get beat again?
Wow.
For me, I'm Steve Mack. I'll always be Steve Mack. I'll always be Monster Mack to people. Cool, whatever. If you like me, love me, hate me, whatever. I'll always be the same guy. But I'll always tell you the truth. That right there is all truth.
Wow. I appreciate you being honest. I appreciate you opening up and telling us, you know, what's going on in your head right now, man, because I'm sitting there just trying to read the situation, man. And that's how you feel, obviously, not just for Johnny, but anyone competing this Saturday at Mount Olympus. You have that opportunity mm-hmm. in the Rumble. And there's still a lot of names that are unannounced. So I'm excited to see who's going to be in that Rumble. Hopefully we have some surprises.
Trust me.
Oh, I love it.
There will be a surprise. I already made a couple of phone calls. There will be at least one.
I liked it. Mm-hmm. I liked it. You got me thinking. I like to hear mm-hmm. that, man. And also, I don't know if you want to comment on this at all. We did talk about this a little bit. You know, with everyone now, because we didn't really like talk about it before. But there's been all these lines in the sand and da da da. Indie wrestling drama, and you know, we talk about, you know, the wrestling perspective, the independent contractor perspective, the promoter perspective, all that kind of stuff. It seems like those lines have kind of been blurred and gone away, which I think is a good thing, just in terms of people being able to work wherever they want. You know, I know where I want to work and mm-hmm. I know where I don't want to work, and that's everyone else's prerogative, man. You, dude, to you, this is probably just another day at the office. You've been doing this for a long time. You're probably no stranger to drama or lines in the sand. Any comments on the situation now or just overall in general?
Well, when I started wrestling for Bobby Lombardi's NYWC. Bobby Lombardi was someone that he had went to a bunch of different schools, ECW school, Johnny Rods. And at some point they all kicked him out. They all said he was wasting his time, whatever it was. And anybody associated with Bobby Lombardi was kind of looked at as like garbage. Right. And that was in New York. Move on to New Jersey. I started wrestling for Jersey All Pro. Anybody associated with Fat Frank Jersey All Pro really can't wrestle anywhere because back then there really was a ceiling. I mean, it was, and listen, I tell everybody this because it's true. I am not a racial guy. I am not, you have to use me because I'm Puerto Rican, or you have to use me because I'm black, or you have to use me because I'm white. I'm not about that. But back then, it was definitely a wall of white who held down anything other than white. Oh, wow. And it's not just my opinion. There's a lot of people who speak the same thing. You talk to a Homicide, you talk to Loki, Moth, the four of us face that together. And while we did have our white friends back then, the independents, it was a place for guys who were white, guys who were old TV guys that were just trying to make an extra buck. And that was it. And then we come along and we scare everybody. We come along and we change the game. Ring of Honor was started because of us. You throw in the SAT and Christopher Daniels and American Dragon, we all were wrestling the same strong style. But because of us, the four of us, with the SAT, Amazing Red and Quiet Storm and Chris Devine, we're the ones who changed the game. What we were doing at JAP and what we were doing at Frank Goodman's USA Pro and ICW is what Rob Feinstein and Doug Gentry had seen personally, firsthand, because they were filming the shows. We changed the business. There's not a lot of guys who could say that. We started Ring of Honor because of what we were doing and what we were bringing. Everything that we did, people believed. Everything that we had did, people bought into because we were on another level. So when we crashed through that ceiling, there was still a lot of hesitation. But back then, we had a choice. We could work for JP or we could work for CZW. You couldn't work for both. We had to deal with that. Eventually, hey, guess what? I was tag team champs at CZW at some point. So clearly that wall was crossed. With this is something personal between two promoters for the most part. And the only people that are suffering are the workers. But at the same time, I feel that it's kind of good because you don't have to deal with, hey, I'm wrestling here. You have to lose here because you're wrestling there. Or I can't lose here because I'm this there. Any of that nonsense that these kids try to pull. And believe me, there's been a lot of that in the 25 years that I've been wrestling. At some point, you have to realize, doesn't matter if you win or you lose, if you put a performance that people are going to demand for you to come back, then that's what you're really wrestling for when you go to a place. When you make a debut, you want people to say, please come back. You're not looking for, if I wrestle, I could only win blah, 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 or beat blah, 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 or no one could beat me or whatever. You know what I mean? There's a lot of crap like that. Believe me. See it all the time. If you can get the people to demand you, it don't matter where you work. I mean, look at Deonna Purrazzo. You just had her on the other day.
Shameless promo. Deonna Purrazzo,
that's someone that I've known since she was in her first months of wrestling.
She's amazing.
I met her when she started training. She's one of the best in the world today, bar none. Guys or girls, right?
1,000%. Number 3 in the world for the women.
And Deonna Purrazzo is the first person in 1 week in WWE, Ring of Honor, and Impact, all in the same week. Who's done that? I can only think of one person. There might be one other person, but I can't think of who it is. She did that. Didn't matter what contracts or what lines she had to cross, she did it. And it wasn't her knocking on the door. It was them calling her and say, hey, can you show up? Because we'd like to have you. So there's no reason why you can't have people working multiple places. Now, like I said, some people, you know, hey, they take their time or they, you know, hesitate to shine like they should. And well, you know, they don't get called back because it's this guy running. I don't really need to. That's bull. When you get paid and you get called to work somewhere, you put on your best effort no matter what. Everybody likes to take a day off. That's fine. But when it comes to this, that your life and your opponent's life is always on the line when you step foot in the ring, you can never take a day off. People like to listen. I've had Loki as my cousin for a long time since I was born. Actually, yeah. Since he was born, because I'm
older. There. Yeah.
And there have been times where I've hated him. There have been times I love him. I always say it. I love Brandon, but I hate Loki. But you know what? A lot of people like to jump on the hate Loki train because he's had some crazy, you know, things that he's posted. A lot of people say, oh, he's a jerk. I guarantee you, you talk to the majority of the people that he's worked with and they say the total opposite. He's been one of the most helpful, one of the most caring, whatever it is, because he cares about this business. If you care about this business, you won't let anybody take advantage of you. Doesn't matter who it is. But at the same time, if you care about this business, you're going to do things to make it grow. And I've seen him take kids who you might be like, oh, what the hell, you know, and turn them into things that people want to see more of, become attractions, become draws. I've seen him do it multiple times. It's not just once or twice. He's done it. He might be loud with his, and the thing is, it's not even that he's loud. He's brash and bold with his statements. But at the same time, he's saying it because what he believes, there's some sort of truth to it, no matter what. And that little bit of truth is something that we should all have. But a lot of us don't because we were brought up the wrong way in this business. People don't understand. It is a business. You are supposed to work to make more money. Someone like, ask Chris Dickinson. He just got hurt. He's in the hospital right now. I hope he gets a speedy recovery. Just had surgery, came out last night or whatever it was. Ask him if he takes this business serious more now or when he was a kid and trying to make it. Because I guarantee you he'll say now because he's living off of it. He's making a living off of it. And a lot of these kids, they're living with their mom. They're living with their parents, whatever. They're not making a living off this. So they don't understand the seriousness that they need to approach this with. And a lot of these people who are, you know, a lot of these promoters who have their little personal beefs or whatever it is, they are just guys who are playing with their toys. They have their live action figures. They don't understand that it is serious business. anything that you put your life on that you could possibly die doing, serious business, no matter what. And a lot of these promoters don't understand that. They think, oh, these guys have been doing it for so long, they can handle themselves, and they'll be okay, and I don't even have to get insurance. No, it's not the case. Because at any point, somebody could slip, the ring you set up could be loose, and the ropes could break, someone could break their neck. I've seen people break their necks in wrestling. It's not pretty. It sucks because you feel bad for the person. In fact, one of the most talented kids I ever saw was this kid named Spiral. He was Brandon was his real name, but he was Spiral. He wrestled in CZW, and he was famous because he gave, I forgot whose brother it was. It might have been Matt Sydal's brother. He gave him a reverse Styles Clash off the top rope. And the kid got knocked out. Yeah.
Wow.
Kid got knocked out, and they were like, oh, he's reckless. The kid wasn't reckless. They went for a spot. It got blown up, and kid got knocked out on accident. It happens. You know what I mean? But then, come to find out, that kid Spiral, he ended up getting paralyzed.
No.
And died a few years later.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And he was young. I don't even think he was in his 30s.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
And I've seen that. Listen, I told somebody the other day, I was talking to him. I have over 30 dead wrestlers in my phone, and I keep it all the time. I don't get rid of them. And the reason why is because it keeps me in check. It reminds me that you can't take this for granted every time you step in the ring, because you could end up like them. Wow. I have a daughter. I love my daughter. My daughter's my world. She's the coolest kid in the world. And I want to be there when she's 20, 25, 30. I want to be hanging out with her and her friends and doing like being the creep old man and just, you know what I mean? Like, but having fun because she's fun. But I can't do that if I take this for granted. So every time I step in the ring, this is why I get at a Johnny Moran. Every time I step in the ring, I'm doing it from personal experience in that I've seen people get hurt. I've been to funerals. I've seen everything that you could see from this business. Wow. I know what it takes to make it. And I also know the sacrifice that you have to give. So don't come at me with, you can't work here because you're working for so-and-so. Well, guess what? Maybe it's probably better I don't work for you. You know what I mean? And listen, again, all these guys could work for whoever they want to work for. I think in a way it's always good, but at the same time, if you show a little loyalty, I think it speaks about you. I've been loyal to Titan because they were loyal to me. They took care of me. Rob Fury took care of me when I worked for him. I know that Rob Fury, there was one time that he said he couldn't pay me, that he was going to pay me during the week. I got paid the next day. There was no hesitation. You know what I mean? So I have no beef with Rob Fury. If Rob Fury were to call and say, hey, Steve, do you think you want to do? I'd give him a good consideration, even with everything. But at the same time,
right.
I talked to Billy and Charlie before anything. And I know Billy's not in charge anymore. But just out of respect for Billy and everything that he did for me, I'd want to make sure that I'm not disrespecting him by working for someone else. So there's the difference. You know what I mean?
Right.
A lot of these guys, listen, and I would love having a match with TJ Marconi. Personally, I hate the Thanos thing. I would love to shut down Thanos. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. You heard it here first. Yes.
And listen, I love TJ Marconi. When I was booking JAP, I booked him on my shows to be my killer. You know, I loved having him around. He's a good person. I enjoy talking with him. He has me as BWF champ, NYC champ for the last 3 years, even though they haven't ran a show. But
still counts as a title. I'd
love to take on. Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you look at Wikipedia, I'm still champ for, you know, 500 something days, whatever.
Still counts. But, still counts.
Yeah, that's a count. But, you know, I would love to wrestle TJ, but at the same time, I want to do it the right way. I'm not just going to jump to jump. It's got to be done the right way with respect. Because while a lot of people don't have respect, I do. I take my pride in knowing that people think of me as someone as respectful. I made my mistakes when I was younger. I've said a lot of things when I was younger, done a lot of things when I was younger. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be a dumb kid and mess up. You're supposed to do things and learn from those lessons. That's what the human experience is. And I've learned from those lessons, and I do my best. Whenever I see someone like a Vicious Vicky or an Arcadia or, you know, even like a Jay Bougie, right? When I see those guys, I talk to them and I see what's going on, not with wrestling, but how they are outside. Because if, and like, let's say Gabby Ortiz was having a stressful day the last time she wrestled. And I could tell because I've been around her for a couple of years. And I talked to her, I stopped her. I was like, hey, listen, I don't know what's going on, but I think you should go out back right before your match, let out a loud scream, just scream at the top of your lungs and just get it out. And she looked at me and I was like, trust me, it's a stress relief. There'd be times when I had my 9-to-5 that I would go sit in my car for a minute before I walked into the building. And I'd scream just to get it out so that I wouldn't carry it into work with me.
Yeah.
Because if you carry anything into wrestling with you, that's where you're going to mess up and get hurt or worse, hurt someone else. So I let her know. She came back. She's like, I feel so much better. I was like, good. Now you're going to have a great match. She did. You know what I mean? It's just, I always want to make sure that the kids that I see, because now I'm at that point where everybody's a kid except for Magic. You know what I mean? To me. So like, I want to make sure that they do their best to understand how serious this business can be.
Wow. Very well said. And I appreciate you speaking about that. I appreciate the advice because I'm literally taking notes as you talk. And I appreciate you kind of putting things into perspective a little bit. You know, you talk about, you know, the independents and the promoters and the drama and all that stuff. But you're like, well, back in the day, it was about race. It was about like all these other things, man. So in a way, it really does put things in perspective, man. Again, I'm very new. So I really, you know, I pay attention to what you have to say, even at the locker room meetings and stuff like that. You always add your two cents, man. And I always pay attention to that. Mm-hmm. But I do want to ask you this, man. Hit me hard because you know the business well. Everyone is super nice to me and, oh, you're doing a great job and yada, yada. But real talk, man, because I want to learn. I want to know what I'm doing wrong. But I'm getting my start here on commentary. Obviously, been doing the podcast for a couple of years. And I've just been given a lot of opportunities. They brought me in and just like, be the guy who you are on the podcast. Super baby face, self-deprecating, trying to be funny. Kind of thing, man. And I'm enjoying commentary. I know there's a lot of work to be done because I work with some really great people and I'm so thankful for the opportunities I get, including Titan, man. But I call your matches, man. Hit me with it. What's the criticism? It doesn't have to be compliments by any means.
So, I mean, and this, honestly, this goes for anybody. If you know the person that you're commentating with, when you're commentating a match, there's certain bullet points you have to get across, you know, storytelling wise. But for the most part, it should be a conversation between you and that person as if you're watching from on TV at home. And when I did commentary for Jersey All-Pro, I did it with Mark Clemson, someone who I was, you know, we had a relationship outside of wrestling. We were cool. We used to hang out at Staten Island Matra, hang out at JP. And when I would wrestle for WXW, he was a commentator there. So we always got to work there. And working with him, I was very relaxed. Yeah. The other thing that you do is you have to do things to establish yourself. So there's got to be little ticks here and there. And like, it's funny because I was just talking to Homicide about this the other day. And he was like, you need to express yourself. But someone hit me on Twitter about calling when Dax, I think it was Dax and Pac last week, they had the match.
Yeah, yeah.
And they hit one hit the Brainbuster over the top, the other hit the Brainbuster in the ring. And they were saying how bad Excalibur was at using my Brainbuster. And, you know, I told Homicide, I was like, you know, it's cool that I get shouted out, but I don't think that they realize anymore that it's me. And it's because it was, you know, 15 years ago. That's just the way it is, you know.
And Excalibur's great. Excalibur's great at what he does.
Okay, if you say so.
Oh, okay. Difference of opinion. Okay, go ahead. That's fair. Okay.
No. Listen, Excalibur's being put in a tough position. You got Tony Schiavone on one hand. You got Jim Ross on the other. Two of the most memorable commentators of all time.
Hands down.
You can't sit in between those guys and, you know, you have to be able to just hold your own against those two because they're going to get in their stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah. And Excalibur has to be the guy. He's a straight guy, which honestly, I don't see him as a straight guy. I see him more as, you know, the heelish, you know, kind of Bobby Heenish. That's when he did that. That's how he worked. You know what I mean? Like for Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, he was calling out, you know, the technical stuff, which honestly, sometimes I do hate that he's so like, let's do Tijeras. Well, shut up. It's a kick to the face.
You know what I mean?
But that's just me. You know what I mean?
You know, the business. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I've been around a long time. Like, yeah, it's cool to get over certain moves, and you should, no matter what, because that's what you're there for. You're helping to tell the story more enhanced than what the wrestlers are telling. You're not going to know the names of moves, you know, if you're a fan, but if the commentator says it, then all right, cool. I'm going to know it, but you don't have to repeat it every time. There was one match where they did three of those kicks where the guy's standing outside and he does that kick to the face up to the guy on the inside. And I think he calls it Tierra. So I forget what the fuck he calls it, but he said it like three times in the same match. Like, bro, you only had to say it one time. You know what I mean? Fans are going to know what it is. So that's my problems with him. But you don't want to be like that. You want to be where it's more natural of a flow. Like I said, you're having a conversation. If you have to plug something, you always do it at the start or the end, right before the end. And even then, not really. You want to make sure that the end gets its love the way it's supposed to. So you want to give anything in the beginning and then let the story tell itself as the match progresses.
That's huge. Thank you. That's key right there, man.
Yeah. Love it. I mean, but a lot of people, you know, when you're on TV, it's a different story. And again, with Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone, he has to, you know, be the guy that's feeding. They're not going to give it to Jim Ross, even though they should, because he's the vet, or even Tony Schiavone, because he's the vet. They're giving it to Excalibur so he could build up his experience. Like we were talking about Johnny Moran and PJ Savage, build up his experience. And once he gets that experience, when they're gone, then he could take over their role. That's what they're setting him up for. And that's fine. You know, what kills me is like when you're watching Rampage and there's like 15 people, there should be no need for a Ricky Starks there. It should be just Taz and Chris Jericho. You know what I mean? One clear baby, one clear heel. Let them work that chemistry. They know each other for a long time. Let them work their chemistry, tell their story, and then give what background you have insight on the wrestlers in the ring. Outside of that, the wrestlers are so talented on that level that they're going to tell a story. And if they don't, well, guess what? It won't be on TV as much because that's what's drawing. You know what I mean? If you look at what, all right, so like I'm not the biggest fan of the Young Bucks, you know, and it's nothing personal. It just, they do more of a video game style wrestling. And it's not how that I came up with. So it's harder for me to adjust. I mean, I could wrestle them if we had a match.
Yeah, yeah.
We would have a great match. But at the same time, I would rather take it slow and steady. But when they wrestled FTR, there didn't even have to be commentary. There was such a good, clean story that was being told that if they shut the mics off, everyone would follow. And that's what you need to have. You need to be able to have the people invested in what you're doing. Yeah, it's cool to do flips. Well, isn't it better if you get them emotionally invested? All these years we're being told pro wrestling is a male soap opera. Now it's appealing to everybody, but it's always been a soap opera no matter what. Soap operas tell story. How much of a soap opera is spent with a guy shooting people? Once a year, maybe? You know what I mean? It's the story, the investment of the characters. And that's what they need to understand. When you are a commentator, if you know what the characters story that he's trying to present, then you can help. You don't have to tell the whole story, but you can help give hints, you know, lead the crowd that's listening to where it could possibly go. And sometimes you could even swerve them and then they'll be like, oh man, we totally thought it was gonna be this because you said that, but then it ended up this and it was even better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. You know, that's the feedback that you want. So outside of that, you know, just try not to die as the match progresses because you want to be able to start at, let's say, 75 and end it at 110. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I did that. I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's real easy because, you know, especially if it's like a hyped up match and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe we're going to wrestle guys. We're going to finally get to see it. And then as the match is going, oh my God, he hit a super poison Rana off the top. Holy crap. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to be that. You want to be after the match. You want to, when the 1, 2, 3 hits, oh my God. I can't believe what we just witnessed. We just saw one of the greatest displays ever. I can't, like, There's no way anybody could do anything better than what those guys, what we just saw. This is 5-star, 7-star, 10-star at the Tokyo Dome. This is awesome. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what you want to be.
I super appreciate that, man. Like I literally wrote some stuff down while you were talking, man, because Saturday's a big day. Hopefully there's gonna be a lot of big moments. I mean, we are gonna have a Rumble winner, a Mount Olympus Rumble winner. You know, there are titles on the line. There's a lot going on, man. And it's interesting to me because Al, you know, my broadcast partner who does such a great job, Alphonse, you know, hashtag always a heel, like we say. You know, we were doing super babyface, super heel, and I'm sitting here going like, is that gonna, like, I've never done that before. Is that gonna work? You know, it's beautiful outside. No, it's rainy and cloudy. Like, I'm like, I don't know if that's gonna work, but he's fantastic. And I feel like the past couple shows have been great, but the last Goddesses show that we just did, I felt like you were saying, like, we got to know each other from working together, and it was more of a conversation, and we could play off each other like that. So that's what I'm starting to learn, even with Nunez, our co-host on this show. You saw how comfortable we are with Deanna and Mac, because they were laughing the whole time. It was like a morning show, like having our coffee, man. And so that's what I appreciate you bringing that up, like the chemistry, you know, that's super important.
Yeah,
take it,
man. I mean, that's the only way it works. That's the only way the dance works, is if you have chemistry with your partner. Yeah. And you know, you have to be able to be comfortable so that in case any awkwardness arises or any sort of thing that improvisation that needs to be filled in, you can do it doing it comfortably and confidently. You know, that's the other thing, is have confidence in yourself. If you know you're smart, you know your business, you know you're wrestling, you don't have to know the moves. You just have to know, hey, this is a fight between a guy and a guy, a girl and a girl, a guy and a girl, whatever it is, this is what's supposed to be. It's a fight. And you talk confidently, and if you talk where you get to the point where you believe everything that you're saying, no matter how wrong it is, the crowd will always invest in what you're saying. That's why the best promos are always those guys who, like a Jake the Snake, there was, no matter what, you believe Jake the Snake because he spoke with confidence. He didn't have to yell. Listen, the Warrior, Ultimate Warrior, was great when you saw him because he was so bizarre, but there was never any confidence. You believe that a small Brian Pillman guy could beat up the Ultimate Warrior, because Brian Pillman, when he talked, you believed what he said. And the same thing with Jake. It's always, if you have the confidence in what you're saying and believe in what you're saying and believe that it's right for you, and that everyone else, it doesn't matter what they think, it's right for you, then they're going to bite, because they're thinking, well, this guy must know something that we don't. And they're going to be more interested, more invested. And as long as you speak confident, they're always going to be behind you. Doesn't matter if it's good, wrong, whatever, bad, whatever. They're always going to believe. And that's just something that it only comes with practice. The more you do it, the more you see it, the more you feel it. It's not going to come overnight. It never will. But you practice it, you keep doing it, and trust me. And the best bet, watch old matches with the volume off. Commentate. See how you feel. I like watching old NWA. I'll watch old NWA and pretend in my head that I'm with Jim Ross. Wow. What would Jim Ross feed me, and what I would feed back to him? You know what I mean? And that's how amazing. Would we react to each other? You do that, trust me, you can work with anybody.
I love that, man. And I appreciate you saying that. I take it as a huge responsibility. And at the same time, I know I'm very, very new, and I want to learn, man. So I appreciate you saying that. Monster Mac. Dude, this was great. I was going to ask, like, advice and stuff like that. I feel like you gave so much advice already, not just to me, but to a lot of the up-and-comers. So here's the hard-hitting questions right now. You're a Brooklyn guy originally, like, for real. All right.
Yes.
What is the Brooklyn pizza spot? What's the spot?
Without hesitation, L&B Pizza in Bensonhurst.
Okay, I'm
best pizza in New York. Yep, L&B Pomone Gardens.
Wow, that's the place.
Best pizza in New York.
I hear, like, DeFara's a lot. I hear a couple places. So L&B.
Yeah, DeFara's is good. There's a spot in the Bronx that I forget the name, but we used to eat it all the time. It was pretty good. But L&B, it's L&B's Pomone Garden. Trust me. Look it up. Look it up on YouTube. And you're going to want to taste it as soon as you see it. Trust me. I follow them on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, everything, because I love their pizza. And that's definitely the spot. What I wanted to talk about real quick.
Please, of course. The floor is yours.
Is some of the matches that are going on this weekend for Titan.
Please.
We were talking before about story. Right now, I think the hottest story is Riley and Vicky. And I think between them and Ray Kalitri and Rick Recon, those are the two matches that are probably
going to love. You show. Love Ray Kalitri. Let's just admit it. Let's just put it out there now. You love Ray. Yeah. He's a guy. He calls from Egypt in front of the pyramids. Come on.
Yes. Dude, he invests in himself more than anybody on the roster. Easily, you see that. It doesn't matter if, listen, he could rent a Maserati every time he comes to show, which he doesn't, but he could, and, you know, or come out with a Rolls Royce, a Phantom. He could come any car. You still believe it because you look at him, he looks like what he represents.
Yeah.
This is what I was talking about before with Johnny Moran. Difference between Ray Kalitri and Johnny Moran, Ray Kalitri is what you see. He believes no matter what, he's the best wrestler, and he has reason to believe that. He gets booked everywhere around the world. And guess what? He travels and lives the lifestyle that he wants to. Why? I listened to that. He said it. You set goals for yourself. You achieve them. You do things that you put you out of your comfort zone. And that's what every successful person that I know has done. They write a list down, steps on how to complete that list. I've done it. I did it almost every year that I've wrestled. You set little lists for yourself and you set those goals where it feels like they might be out of reach now, but will they be out of reach in 3 to 6 months from now? And if you take every step possible, there's no reason why you can't complete them. Ray has mastered that. I mean, you look at everything he presents. It's not fake. It's real. That's real. His girlfriend is real.
Yeah.
His wrestling is real. His look is real.
Yeah.
Everything about him is real, genuine. And there's no reason why he shouldn't be getting calls from TV, because when you look at him, he looks like a marketable wrestler that people can either hate, like and like MJF. Same level of realism. And there's something there that you can make money off of. And he could wrestle. The dude is an awesome wrestler. And trust me, if I was starting a company, he's one of my top three, no matter what.
Wow.
Because he brings that credibility. When you listen, Dusty Rhodes was one of the fattest, sloppiest looking wrestlers in the history of wrestling. And I'm not saying that out of hate, because look at me. I've never been a muscle head or anything like that, right? But Dusty Rhodes, you believe when he would come out there in a fur coat, you know why you believe that he bought that fur coat and owned a whole bunch like it? Because he was wrestling all over the place. He was the heavyweight champion. He spoke what he spoke because he was living what he was speaking. Same thing with Ray Kalitri. Now, Dusty Rhodes might have been hanging out in the bar with, you know, Dick Murdoch and, you know, slapping cows' asses. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
you believed it. And with Ray, there hasn't been one time that I've ever doubted him. When you have that credibility around you, then everyone's going to see, like, oh man, this guy knows what he's talking about. You know, TJ Marconi is the same deal. TJ is a big monster. He's got a bunch of titles. I would use him because what he's speaking is what he believes. He believes he should be the biggest known champion on the Northeast. And if you talk to him, he really believes that. You can't stop that. You know what I mean? He knows that he went from being a Kevin Nash ripoff to being the bodyguard TJ to, you know, being the TJ that he is now. He's made that evolution, and he believes in every step that he's taken that's gotten him to this point now, to where he believes fully in himself. There's nothing wrong with that. Do I think he's right? No, I don't. I think Thanos is dumb. But that's just personal opinion. You know what I mean?
At the end of the day, if the fans react, that's what it's all about. You know, you get a reaction from the fans. Exactly. And you want to come see it. Exactly. There you go.
Oh, man. Exactly. You know how many matches I've had where I'm like, that really wasn't the best effort because somebody messed up and it just fell off the rails. But then at the end of the match, the fans go nuts. And then you realize you're like,
yeah,
it didn't really matter because they were there at the end. They still followed. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. There's a lot of times where people will just shut down because, you know, one misstep happens. Oh, I'm so good. I'm a fucking idiot. But then at the end, if they get it together, you know, the fans will appreciate their effort. and they'll give them another chance. And this is what we were going back to in the beginning. You want to have the people to want to see more of you. If they're clapping after a bad match and they're showing you respect, they know that the talent's there. This was just a bad night. And that's it. You can't let it dwell. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's a lot of guys that we've seen that they let that moment dwell and they keep on dwelling. And then by the time their next match comes along, it carries over. And then you got guys like Ray Caligiuri, who, you know, and Rick Recon and Nikos Rikos, you know, studs who, you know, no matter what you say, or even a Chris Barton, you know, they're solid. They have everything that it takes to be winners. You believe. Listen, Nikos Rikos is a dickhead. He does it in his character, but you know why so many people hate him? Because what he does is real. He really hates people. I've sat and talked to the guy. I know what he thinks. I know what he's feeling. He really hates people. He only wants to deal with the people that he wants to deal with. He loves beating the crap out of people. I will tell you that. Oh, yeah. You know, he looks like a stud. He works out like an animal. He's well-trained, well-thought, well-versed. You know, people buy into Nikos Rikos because what you see is what you get. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, if a lot more guys work like him, it'd be a lot harder to get any spot, not just my spot, any spot in a company. If you had 24, 25 Nikos Rikos working, Rick Recon working, guys who give their all, and you believe in them, then how can you beat that company? Doesn't matter what it is, you know? And that's the thing. Again, there's a little shot. Pew, pew, Johnny Moran. Do they look at you like a Nikos Rikos? Do they look at you like a Ray Caligiuri?
Wow.
Nope. And listen, I could say things because I've been around a long time. People could say whatever they want about me. Listen, I've earned my stripes. I've earned my, you know, respect. If you don't like me, that's cool. I don't care. I don't lose sleep because you don't like me. But I will tell you the truth, you know?
The resume speaks for itself. The title, the hardware speaks for itself. You're top dog at Titan right now. You have the proof right in front of you.
By the way, sorry, yes, to cut please. You off.
Of sorry. Course.
It's now 80, it's either 87 or 88 different titles in 25 years.
Wow. Using that on Saturday. Wait, 88 in 25 years? Wow.
Yeah, it's 88 with tag titles with 10 different partners.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
Amazing.
I mean, I work hard. Like I said, and you know what's crazy? I really do believe that I'm a nobody. Like, I know, like, I'm not a nobody. But at the same time, like, you know, I feel I'm very humble about myself. I feel like, who am I? I'm just a guy that wrestled and got paid to wrestle. But in reality, in the grand scheme of this world, who am I? I'm just a fat kid from Brooklyn. That's all I'll ever be. That's all I ever was to me. You know what I mean? Doesn't matter that I've been all over the world and I've wrestled in front of thousands. It doesn't matter. That's who I am. But I use my knowledge and expertise to help people be better at this. And at the same time, I enjoy doing this. So it's not just a hobby. It's something that I love. It's something that I have passion for. I have fire. Johnny Moran don't have that. I do.
Wow. I'll say, well, there it is. You knew it was coming. And that's going to get us hyped, of course, for Mount Olympus this Saturday at Adrenaline Academy here in New Jersey. Tickets are still available at titan-championpwrestling.com. I think row 2 is about to sell out. So we'll see what's going on with that, guys. We hope to see you Saturday. Monster Mac, I respectfully disagree with you saying I'm just this and that. You, again, 88 titles over 25 years, the top dog at Titan Championship Wrestling. And I also appreciate you not just talking about you and your career, but talking about so many different wrestlers throughout the interview, sharing your wisdom, your thoughts, your advice, maybe a couple shots fired here and there. I appreciate you. And let's put you over here because you deserve it. Tell us where they can follow you on social media, get the merch, all that great stuff.
Well, I'm only on one platform. I mean, I am on Facebook and Instagram, but those are for my family. And I it's better for me that way. I see less garbage online, even though I still get wrong. My fair share because, you know, there's always going to sneak through. But if you want me on Twitter, it's at Steve Mac DHS, M-A-C-K, because a lot of people don't know how to spell Mac. I don't understand that. But
I double checked. I made sure it was right.
And I think if you look at me, look up for me on YouTube, it's under the same thing. But I haven't started posting. It's funny. I said that PJ was a lot like me, reminded me. My next step was to start a video game channel where I just reviewed or played video games.
Are you a big gamer?
We are. Yeah, big time. Bro, I have. I'll send you the picture after we get off.
Please.
My title is normally resting on top of my arcade. One of many arcades that I have. I'm in a place right now where I can't display all of them, but I only have the two out right now.
Like the arcade.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Wow.
Arcade. At one point, I regretfully did this. I had somewhere about, 5,000 games between Sega, Nintendo, Atari, everything, right?
That's and Nunes. I sold his room's a museum. Oh, you sold it? Yeah. Oh, man.
I sold it. Yes.
Made a pretty penny.
But every day I kick myself because I know that I sold a whole bunch of games that were easily worth, $200-$300. You know what I mean? And, you got to do what you got to do.
Favorite game of all time?
Street Fighter 2.
That's a great answer, man. Who's your character? Who do you go to?
So it's usually Ryu Ken, but I do like using Blanca as well.
Yeah.
I mean, but, I try everybody but Dalsim and Zangief because they're both, you got to be really like expert level and I'm not there.
Wow.
But
that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I grew up with. I've been playing video games since I was able to walk. You know what I mean? And growing up, it's something that I've always collected. I mean, it's stupid. I have a computer with a hard drive of 150,000 games, right? But then I have the PlayStation TV hooked up with 20,000 games, and then I have a Vita with another 20,000, and I have classic Super Nintendo. I have everything that you could think of, but I love video games no matter what. And even my arcade has something 10,000 games on it. You know what I mean? So
wow, that's awesome, dude. I could talk gaming with you. That's for the next podcast,
because
I'll send you pictures of Nunes's museum up here, because it is. There's the Nintendo section, the Sega, Jaguar. Mm-hmm. It's nuts, man. But
love it.
I digress. Monster Mac, seriously, thank you again for coming on the show, taking time out of your busy schedule, man. Congrats on all your accolades in your career. And Saturday's going to be a big day, my friend. And just thank you for coming on, and continued success to you moving forward. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I can't wait to see you on Saturday and talk some more.
Can't wait. Anytime, man. And like we always say here on the BCP, everyone stay safe, stay positive, take care of each other. We are out. Peace.